Welcome to Sunday Sermons and other recordings from the Unitarian Universalist Church of Davis, California. Please visit our website at www.uudavis.org for further information.
Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Davis. Good morning. I'm Jackie Leva Conklin, and I'm today's worship associate.
And I'm the Reverend Morgan McLean, the Assistant Minister for Congregational Life. You are welcome here in the fullness of who you are and who you are becoming. You are welcome here no matter how you identify or who you love, no matter the color of your skin or your personal circumstance. No matter your understanding of God or life's big questions, you are welcome into this community. To acknowledge all that is being held by the people in this room, we light one pillar candle for the sorrows of the world, for moments that weigh heavy on our hearts. We light a second pillar candle for the joys of the world, for moments of hope and celebration. Now let us center ourselves in worship through music.
Would Luis Leva Conklin come and light the chalice? Originally from Colombia, Luis and I have been dancing together since the day we met. We performed for over a decade with the Colombian groups Huepa Je and Colombia Viva. We've shared this interest with the youth of our community in hopes to pass on a legacy of pride in their heritage. The chalice lighting words are by Anonymous and shared by Reverend Victoria Safford. Forget about enlightenment. Sit down wherever you are and listen to the wind. That is the singing in your veins. Feel the longing, the fear, the love in your bones. Open your heart to who you are right now. Not who you'd like to be. Not the saint you're striving to become. But the being right here before you, inside you, all of you is holy. You're already more and less than whatever you can know. Breathe out. Look in. Let go.
So to start this time, this message for when we are all together, you will hear that I am going to be whispering at you today instead of speaking out loud. And I'm hoping that it just sounds as if I'm really, really very intimate with all of you. You know, that I'm sharing my heart of hearts as opposed to having laryngitis. Also, that Reverend Morgan is going on maternity leave. Everyone keeps saying, when is that going to happen? So, you know, you're going to need to say bye-bye to her for a little while, and she will come back in mid-August for 2 weeks of 40% time, and then she'll continue next year at 80% for the year, so she can be with that new baby and with Daniel. So we are in good relationship, and so we'll see you later. Bye-bye. So the meta prayer, which you've started to learn, Allison is going to step in. We're going to do it in a more complicated way, I think. We'll see how she feels about it. But, well, we'll see. She's looking at me, and I don't know what that means exactly, but we'll find out. This doesn't translate exactly like Spock, you know. So, meta prayer means we're going to start with ourselves and loving ourselves. And then you'll hear in every verse it goes out more and more to include others in a sense of well-being and caring for them. And that really changes how we are with the world. And so this is a message for every age. And I think you can turn down my microphone a little so I'm not quite in a tin can. There we go. And so, Allison, teach us how to do this. So when you get going in this service from here on in, this is really Jackie's request, and I resonate with it. We're entering into a part of the service that is seamless. So there will not be a stop and a start. And especially at one point, you may think, oh, I really want to express my appreciation. And so we invite you to just relax into it, totally experience it, and not worry about us in either of our performing roles in how you respond. So just to sit and receive. Even with sign language, we feel like that takes away from the depth of the potential experience. So just let yourself be with it. And the next section of the service will not end until we get to the offertory.
A poem by Joy Harjo. Remember. Remember the sky that you were born under. Know each of the stars' stories. Remember the moon. Know who she is. Remember the sun's birth at dawn. That is the strongest point of time. Remember sundown and the giving away tonight.
Remember your birth, how your mother struggled to give you form and breath. You are evidence of her life and her mother's and hers. Remember your father. He is your life also. And remember the earth whose skin you are. Red earth, black earth, yellow earth, white earth, brown earth. We are earth.
Remember the plants, trees, animal life, who all have their tribes, their families, their histories too. Talk to them. Listen to them. They are alive poems. Remember the wind. Remember her voice. She knows the origin of the universe. Remember, you are all people, and all people are you.
Remember, you are this universe, and this universe is you. Remember, all is in motion, is growing, is you. Remember, language comes from this. Remember, the dance language is that life is. Remember. Joy Harjo reminds us that we are in all people, and all people are in each of us. We are the universe, and the universe is us. All is in motion and growing, and we are that motion. When we experience our lives connected to the well-being and the survival of other lives, we know a wholeness. It is larger than any one life circumstance, whether that life circumstance is joy or sorrow. Harjo's poem speaks of the one way that we understand the sacred through connection, and in this radical connection, a profound sense of wholeness. 14 years ago, in 2005, the UU Association published a study of the theological diversity found within our faith tradition. For decades before this time, there was little reference to God, sacred, or divine in our worship. We rejected a judging presence of a Lord God that demanded obedience and was separate and judged the world. We avoided using the word God because it was, and it is, loaded with meanings that have been used to oppress people and claim land. In 2005, the published study showed that UUs across the country continued to recognize humanity as an important source of inspiration. However, in addition, a growing number of people referred to a mystery that moves among us and is connecting all of nature. There was and continues to be an emerging openness to the many ways this mystery or force or God could be defined and experienced. People described God as being found in the depths of personal reflection, and these are quotes from that study. God was also found in nature and when we seek wholeness and transformation. Our own theologians explore what this word God could mean for us. Sometimes, actually often taking inspiration from other religious traditions. One source of understanding the God mystery, ground of our being, described in Joy Harjo's poem, is found in the writing of the theological nomad Yvonne Guevara. She became known to me through the writing of Sherry Prudhomme, a scholar in our denomination who served at UUCD as an interim, not an intern, as an interim, a minister who intentionally takes a temporary position between two settled ministers. Sherry wrote an essay about eco-theology, and Yvonne Guevara was one of the featured theologians. Guevara is described as a nomad of theology, which immediately made me a fan of hers. I was curious, and so I read her essays and listened to the YouTubes of her lectures that were done in English. She defies categorization, in part because she embodies so many identities. She is an immigrant of Syrian and Lebanese descent, living in Brazil. And at the age of 22, she joined the Augustinian Congregation of the Sisters of Our Lady, because being a nun offered her more freedom than being a traditional young Brazilian middle-class woman. She wanted more. With her freedom from the traditional role, she became a scholar of religious studies and a leading theologian of liberation and eco-theology. The church worked beside the poor and the oppressed, encouraging them, empowering them. The Vatican ruled that the open and radical theology that she and others taught at the seminary was not adequate training for priests. And Rome closed the seminary. Can you imagine siding with the oppressed and poor, not being adequate teaching? She was silenced by the Vatican for 2 years, forbidden to teach, preach, or publish her writing. She used her time of being silenced really well, though, and studied for a doctorate in theology. So she had both a doctorate in philosophy and now one in theology. And when the ban of silence was lifted, she resumed her teaching with new fervor. Guevara became even more outspoken for the poor and the oppressed. That's what happens when the Vatican tries to silence someone like her. She discovered that there are additional levels of oppressed people within every oppressed population. She said, keep looking beyond the obvious. When she was working with a gathering of men who were seeking better working conditions, she invited the women who were bringing refreshments to the group to stay and contribute to the conversation. Surely they had opinions and stories to share. But they would never stay. They never said yes. And they never spoke about their experiences in that setting. But finally, one of the women took her aside and said, "Sister, you speak like a man." And she couldn't figure out what that meant. "You talk about men's issues in the workplace.
Our issues are the hunger of our children and the violence in our homes. Let us talk with you about women's issues, and we'll tell you our stories. As individuals, we have many identities, and each population has many levels of power and disempowerment. Kibada learned from this experience to keep looking within any oppression to find who might not be seen yet. During the 2 years of being silenced, she had a personal conversion for a new relationship with the earth, the entire cosmos. Harjo wrote, "Remember the plants, the trees, the animal life, who all have their tribes, their families, their histories too. Talk to them. Listen to them." Kibara wrote, "We can no longer speak of God as existing before creation, but as being a part of creation's unfolding. God is relationship among humanity and our relationship to the earth." Her writing supports the Unitarian Universalist emphasis on the seventh principle of the interdependent web of all existence. Kibara's theology is being read by Unitarian Universalist authors who are interested in the undeniable connection of humanity's fate and the fate of the earth. We are talking about a wholeness that includes and goes beyond our individual lives. As a faith, we are very interested in how she describes this creative force, this God connection of wholeness. She writes, "What humankind knows about God can never be translated adequately into words. Mystery. We are always this and something more. That is both here and there, before us and within us, and outside us. Transcendent and immanent, spiritual and body, and enveloped, all enveloped in mystery." When I use the word God, or spirit, or mystery, this is what I refer to. It's the understanding that can happen in the moment between the words, an understanding that is sometimes far beyond reason. It's what happens when a group of people come together and accomplish more than they could alone. And I say, the Spirit moves among us to give us strength and hope and even courage. God, spirit, mystery is how the trauma that is passed both genetically and through stories from one generation to another in families and cultures can intentionally It can be healed. It's the expansive presence felt under the stars and the sky, the moon, when witnessing the dawn and sunset, when standing in a grove of trees and smelling the spicy, earthy tang of pine. And I continue to discover the presence of this radical invitation to wholeness. A radical invitation to wholeness.
Walking through the cool, moist air of the redwood forest, the warm sun intermittently shines upon my face. I pause and close my eyes to feel its warmth and breathe in the earthy smells of the forest floor. In the quiet of the forest, I feel a sensation of wholeness and connectedness that I call sacred. Again, looking up, my gaze is drawn to the sky and to the canopy of trees. As my awareness broadens, I note that a cluster of trees, which appear separate above, are all connected at the base. Each full-grown tree started as a tiny sprout from the same stump. And I am reminded how I am connected to my deep lineage and how my unique expression in the world has its roots in those who have come before me. My biological roots are a combination of European, Native American, and African. And though I grew up in a predominantly Anglo neighborhood, I always carried with me an unexplained yet deep desire to connect with Native American culture and African rhythms. I often sought out to attend Native American festivals called powwows and African American music and cultural festivals. The challenge that I faced was feeling out of place because of my European heritage. Feeling separate was familiar for me. In my family, my mother was adopted at birth. I was aware that all of my cousins, aunts, and uncles were not related by blood. Additionally, the family who raised my mother believed her to be biracial. My mother always described feeling loved, but she was born in the 1940s in the conservative Midwest. She also described feeling out of place. Science describes how traumas are passed on from generation to generation, and I believe some of my feelings of separation were inherited. Beyond my mother, history books share stories of children being orphans or separated from their families. Native American families were separated through government assimilation programs. African Americans separated through slavery and its aftermath. Europeans came to the New World separated from their families as indentured servants. I knew some of my ancestors were likely separated from their family, and at the same time, other ancestors were likely immigrants that displaced First Nations and brought slavery. Identifying with multiple cultures inwardly made me feel neither here nor there. Over the years, dance became a vehicle for me to explore aspects of myself. Starting with ballet and other traditional techniques, I later studied African, Colombian, and Brazilian. Each rhythm, each style, helped me to claim a little bit of myself. And through mastery, I gained pride of my heritage. Beyond pride, what has been most healing has been a full acceptance of all that I am. Native Americans of the Ojibwe Nation describe seeing the world with two eyes, one to see the physical and one to see the spiritual. Outwardly, it may be easy to see that which separates us, our physical attributes, our economic and social settings, our cultural and religious beliefs. All of these things are easily observed. But looking inwardly, it's possible to see in the ways in which we are the same. We all carry traumas. We all age and have finite bodies. We are all connected. And if we go far enough back in history, all people of all cultures are connected. We are made of the same matter that comes from the earth and returns to the earth. Now, when I dance, I invite all of my ancestors to move through me. Their presence in my bones and at a cellular level remind me to honor the sacred in each breath, in each step. Dancing in this way is a touchstone, reminding me that when I am authentic and bring forth all aspects of me, I am united to the interconnected web of life.
Remember sundown and the giving away to night. Remember your birth. how your mother struggled to give you form and breath. You are evidence of her life and her mother's and hers. Remember your father. He is your life also. And remember the earth whose skin you are. Red earth, black earth, yellow earth, brown earth, white earth. We are earth. Remember the plants, trees, animal life, who are all in their tribe, their families, and their histories too. Talk to them. Listen to them. They are alive poems. Remember the wind, and remember her voice. She knows the origin of this universe. Remember, you are all people, and all people are you. Remember, you are this universe, and this universe is you. Remember, all is in motion, is growing, is you. Remember, language comes from this. Remember, the dance language is. That is life. Remember.
We take time in each of our services to offer our gifts to this community and to invite your participation. And today we have a special announcement from Kathy Robertson.
Hello. I work with Reverend Banks and Jose Torres on the AB 540 Center and Undocumented Student Project that's part of our sanctuary work. And I just wanted to tell everybody we raised $2,002 on Friday night at a concert with Yolo Mambo. And I wanted to thank everybody who participated in it. The money will be used to fund Speak Week, which will be later this month. It's a time when they can rally support on campus, talk about their work, and teach people about what it's like to be undocumented. There are now 750 students who are undocumented at Davis. And I wanted to hold out special thanks to Stephen Harvey, who helped mastermind this concert, which we had a funding gap. We have a grant that we had last year to support our work. I've written a grant that we hope to hear in the summer for next year, but we had a hole. And everybody came together to help and support this effort. So thank you to Beth, who helped get the band, and to everybody else who made cookies, participated, and everything else. So it's a go, and thank you very much.
And thank you, Kathy, for your leadership and for everyone on the Immigration Justice team for the good work that you're doing and the ways you're representing this congregation and our values in the wider community.
Body or spirit, and take hands and make sure that no one is left out here. Front and back of the congregation. Everyone, somebody grab that Rich Bradley's hand. Yeah, come on, or his shoulder or something. Bring him in. These words are by Andrew Pakula. There are miles behind you and many more ahead.
As you journey on toward wholeness, may all that is good and true guide your way.
May the joy of love lighten every step, and the miracle that is the life be ever in your sight. Let this congregation say, amen.
And let there be applause for the choir and for Jackie, for our EV team. What a wonderful.